Welcome to the Reigning in Life podcast with Pastor Mtor. Join Pastor Mtor, the esteemed founder and senior pastor of Intentional Church, as he transforms lives by the Word of God. Get ready to reign in life as you tune in and listen to the transformative teachings. Stay blessed and stay tuned.
Now, how does faith work? Do you want me to touch that, or should we close for today? How does faith work? Let's look at it. How does faith work? So now, you know how is life without faith? You know how faith comes, right? Now let's look at how does faith work. Let me just cover it for the few minutes that we have, and we go. How does faith work? Because now faith has come, right? Pastor, I've been listening to you, and now I believe I have some faith. Now that you have faith, it doesn't mean you know how it works. Okay? Imagine somebody who orders a particular product. Maybe you order a chair from one of these places, Decofen or whatever it is, right? And then they deliver it by your doorstep. It's been delivered to you, but it's still not the chair you ordered because you have not assembled it. So you need to know how to assemble it. Now that faith has come, how is it going to work, Pastor? The first thing that when faith comes, number one, this is what it does. Number one, faith will tell you to say, do not say Jesus must come or you should not have died. That's what the first thing that faith tells you is that don't say it was better with Jesus here. How many of you wish Jesus was here? Like you could go to Jerusalem and see him. Yeah. Have you ever been there when you're praying and saying, God, I just need you to touch me, please. Please just touch me. Let your hand come out and just touch my forehead. Have you been there?
Yes, sir.
So the Bible says when faith comes, first of all, it says don't want that. Put the scripture up, Romans 10. It says, do not say, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. So in other words, don't wish Jesus to come down. Now faith is working now.
Yes, Pastor.
So faith is in charge now.
Yes, sir.
Faith comes and says, don't wish for Jesus to come down. Yeah. If Jesus doesn't come down, then what? We are in trouble. We are finished. The righteousness of faith says, do not say it. Don't say it.
Yes,
don't say Jesus should come down.
Yes, sir.
And it continues and says, next verse, do not say, who will go down to hell? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. In other words, it says, do not say, I wish Jesus had not died. We would all be going to Jerusalem. You'll be solving all of our problems. When you hear somebody speaking like that, faith has not come. When faith comes, it already says, don't want Jesus to come down and don't wish he hadn't died. Yeah. That's powerful.
It is.
How many projects have you paused and like, this one, it needs Jesus. It really needs Jesus. Am I talking to some people here?
Yeah.
Something must happen. Jesus! It needs Jesus. Hey, Jesus must come down. He's not coming down. Oh, I wish he hadn't died. The Bible says don't. It's like in the Old Testament when it says that, when it says the good old days, it says they're not speaking wisely. Okay? So now when faith is there, it says, don't wish Jesus was there. Okay, don't wish that Jesus was there. Don't wish he hadn't died. Don't wish he can come down. Jesus, come down. And they're looking up at the sky. Oh, if Jesus can come down now. He's not coming down. So, yeah, don't come down with your neck. Hallelujah. But what does it say? It says, the word is near you. The reason you don't need Jesus to come down is because the word is near. Abazalwane would rather have Jesus, who is the word, but ignore the word in their shelves. Jesus, come down. You are carrying him in your purse. You are carrying him in your smartphone. Jesus, come down. Do not say you should come down. But what does when faith is working, but what does it say? The word is near you. The word. So if faith works, Mihlaline, how does it work? Faith is word dependent.
Amen.
It's operative by the word.
Amen.
Jesus is not coming because he sent his word. Okay? Yeah, he's not coming. You want Jesus to come? The only time Jesus is coming physically is to rapture the church. Right? Yeah. To take us all to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And you better believe in the rapture. Mm. I'll tell you some other time.
Yes, sir.
Right? Yeah. You better believe in it.
Yes, sir.
So, it says the word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. So, faith says, if we can get the word in your heart, and if we can get the word in your mouth, we don't need Jesus here. Because if Jesus is in the flesh, it's only the word in the flesh.
Yeah.
Jesus in your Bible, in your physical Bible, yeah, that is Jesus in print.
Yeah.
The same way water can have different properties. Mm. Liquid, ice, solid, right? Mm. Gas, that's vapor. And I said, I don't know if there's any other, right? If when it's flowing, or what, liquid, gas, whatever, the states of water.
Yes, sir.
The same glass of water,
yes,
can
sir
be liquid.
Yes.
The same glass of water can be ice. The same glass of water can be vapor. You understand? It's the same water.
Yes, sir.
So Jesus, the same word, came as flesh. And Jesus, the same word, came as scripture.
Yeah.
But when I like, I don't believe this is water because it's ice. I want the water to be liquid for me to believe. And God is like, I'm not going to make it liquid for you. You have to just believe that this ice is water. And if you can take this ice, you can melt it and it becomes liquid for you. I'm teaching better than you're saying, amen. So do not say, this is the word is near you. It is in your mouth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So how does faith work? Faith works by, first of all, saying, telling you what not to say. Don't say Jesus should come. He's not coming. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, Jesus is not coming. Because you've got the word. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Faith must be rooted in the heart. Faith must be what? Rooted in the heart. For with the heart, with the heart, with the heart, one believes. Okay? We don't believe with our mind. We don't. Many Christians can agree, Pastor, what you're saying is true, is the Bible, but their hearts are not believing it. So we don't believe with our minds. Tell your neighbor, say, you don't believe with your mind. The Bible says, with the heart one believes to righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do I know, Mihlali, that you believe? I check what comes out of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're always complaining, I know you don't have faith. If you're always murmuring, I know you don't have faith. You find a Christian who's praying, I pray God helps me solve this problem. And then afterwards you ask them, so how are you doing? He asks them, nah, I'm just confused. It's proof you don't believe. That's why it's not working. How can you be confused when now God is helping you? If you believe God is helping you, how you think, oh, I'm great, I'm expectant, I'm excited, God is giving me some ideas. Then we know your speech is the measuring gauge of faith. What you say tells us what's in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth must speak. Okay? So if you find yourself speaking fear, speaking doubt, speaking unbelief, always complaining, always quarreling, not everything negative, the devil did this, the devil did that, then is proof that in your heart you do not have faith. Because if you had faith, you'd only talk about the possibilities of God. When I was preparing this message and I was just arriving at some conclusions, I made up my mind. I do not have a problem, number one. Number two, I will not tell anyone any of my problems. Because I don't have them.
I don't have any problems.
The reason you're always discussing problems is because that's what your heart is full of. Now your heart, if your heart is full of problems, it means it's empty of faith.
Sure.
Huh? The Bible says a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, he produces good things.
Yes,
now, my question to you is, what have you put in your heart? David says, I have hid your word in my heart. Okay, I have hid your word in my heart. Can I give you bonus material, which I was never going to cover?
Yes.
Do you want me to give you bonus material? How then do I hide the word in my heart, Pastor? Because I've been memorizing scripture, but I still speak problems. Yeah? I have been memorizing scripture since I was in children's church, Sunday school. But when life happens, I speak negatively. So how then do I, you are not interested in this. Do you want me to tell you how you hide the word in your heart? Are you sure?
Yes.
Will you go do this thing?
Yes.
Proverbs chapter 3. It's not, this one is not anywhere. It's not in the notes. It's not anywhere. It's bonus material. Thank you for coming. You know, I'm giving you some bonus material. Amen. Right? God, verses 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So your heart has an iPad where we write things. Where we input data.
Amen.
Now, how do we write? How do we? Because the Bible has told you you can write on your heart.
Yeah.
How then do you write? Psalms 45 verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So you use your mouth to write into your heart. So what you say affects you. That's how you write in your heart. That's how you write in your heart. Hallelujah. So when David says, I have hid your word in my heart, he says, I've used my tongue to speak to myself, scripture. I speak scripture to myself. Blessed is the man who loves the Lord, meditates on it. That meditation is matter speaking out. So he speaks the word to himself day and night, and you are writing it in your heart. And then that's why I gave you the third point, so that faith comes by hearing. You speak the word to yourself.
Yes.
This is what I'm talking about. That when you speak the word to yourself, ne, you are writing it in your heart. Now there's a, when you continuously speak it, you are continuously writing, faith explodes in your heart. For example, you might say, I'm trusting God for a car. Right? You now need to take it from scripture, put it on your pen, and write it in your heart.
Amen.
Say it until you believe that God wants you to have the car. When your heart explodes with faith, car arrives.
Amen. Amen.
It works.
It works, sir.
Lebrados kabakeri. Pastor Alan, I'm not planning to take long, but if you allow me, can I just preach a bit longer?
Yes, sir.
Just to make this land properly.
Yes,
Jesus says, Just hold this. Jesus says that the sower sows the seed, right?
Yes,
and then he says that, and the word is the seed.
Yes, sir.
Now, where does the sower sow? He sows in our heart, because our heart is soil.
Yes,
now watch this. That's why it matters who you listen to, because their words are seeds being planted into your heart.
Yes,
huh? Now, let's say I have a farm. Yes. I'm a Christian man. I have a good Christian farm.
Yes,
Pastor. Good Christian is born again. I walk around there. I speak in tongues. My farm is sanctified. But some naughty boys come and plant marijuana.
Hey!
Will marijuana grow or not?
It will.
In my Christian farm.
Yes,
so anyone who speaks negative things and you let them inside, those negative things will grow in your heart and manifest in your life. That you are born again or not does not matter. That's why some of us, we have low self-esteem, because our parents, our brothers, when we grew up, they told us, you are nothing. You are useless. They kept sowing the seed. So now, you are, whatever you try to do, you produce a harvest of uselessness. So what do? You now need to plant set new seeds. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I approve things which are excellent. The spirit of wisdom is working in me. So they might have planted wrong seeds and you are having a wrong harvest, but you are responsible with your mouth to plant the right seed so that you have the right harvest. I cannot fail. I'm a success. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a breadwinner. I am rich. I cannot be poor. I walk in divine health. That's what we're talking about. Come on now. That's how you're planting. Many of you guys allow CNN movies to plant things in your heart. Yeah, and you find yourself, you are a child of God, but you no longer believe that homosexuality is really a problem. Because your favorite characters are homosexuals and they keep planting. So it's now normalized. It's a harvest in you.
They keep planting in your heart.
Yes. 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 So now when we open scripture and we're trying to plant God's thoughts, we already find there's already a harvest that doesn't want the seed. Can a Christian farm have a better harvest because of the seeds planted? Yes. So that means a Christian can produce unchrist-like qualities because of what they allow to enter into their heart.
Amen.
The songs you sing, the movies, you are a child of God, your heart is written Christ. But on the inside, you are letting the devil plant his seeds. So you find people talking negative, all kinds of stuff. It's because they are allowing the devil to plant his seeds. Plant fear, plant doubt. I refuse to fear. I refuse to doubt. Yeah, they plant fear, they plant doubt, they plant unbelief. And you wonder why a child of God is struggling to believe God. Is struggling to believe that by his stripes I'm healed. Is struggling to believe that give and you shall receive and you'll be blessed. A child of God struggles to believe these things. When we are preaching them, it's like it's stories. It's because they've let the enemy plant his own crop. And it takes a bit of time to get your heart to write the right thing in your heart. Does it make sense now? So it matters who you listen to. I'm not joking about it.
Yes,
yeah, it really matters. Listen to me. I was telling Pastor Pony that for me, I don't listen. I don't listen to every preacher. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big. I listen to Bishop Oyatepo. I listen to Pastor Chris. I'm done. I'm done. And I read my Bible. That one is number one. Ah, yeah, there. I put it in. I put it in. I say it out. And my heart is receiving it. And my heart is saying, you're planting good seed. And I'm planting the seed of the word. You see, that's why I notice when you keep coming to church, your life keeps changing without effort.
Yes.
You see, because you're just planting the seed of the word. But when you stop coming to church and you go elsewhere, they also plant their own seeds. And before you notice it, someone who has a beautiful Christian vineyard, a Christian orchard, beautiful fruits, all of a sudden becomes a certain some way orchard because of the seeds that are being planted now. That is the words being spoken to them now. I hope somebody's being blessed. Yeah. So even this year, whatever, just come to the house of God and let those see. As I'm preaching like this, seed is coming into you, quality seed, the word of God. You'll just be surprised when you start producing a harvest.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you get here? So faith must be rooted in the heart. Is that good?
Amen.
So with the heart you believe. And then faith works principally by your words. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 18. Principally by your words. Say my words.
My words.
Yeah. You see, so we know what is in your heart by what you say. We know what is in your heart by what you say. You see, so I decided I will tell no one my problems because I've got no problems.
No problems.
I'm not recognizing problems. I only recognize solutions. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Yeah. Faith works principally by our words. The Bible says, and since we have the same spirit of faith that Paul had, that Jesus had, that the apostles had, huh? Sometimes don't you wish you had the faith of Jesus? The Bible says we've got the same spirit of faith. What do? We believe in our heart first and then we speak. Amen. So what you are saying tells me what you believe. What you are saying is an indicator of what you believe in your heart. Yeah. And by your words, you are justified. And by your words, you are condemned. Right. Now, let's apply what I just shared with you today. We're going to look at the woman and the issue of blood in just quick points. First thing is, she heard about Jesus. Right. That's the application. How does it work in your life? She heard about Jesus. The Bible says, and she heard the reports concerning Jesus. In other words, she heard the sermons, the teaching that there is a man who is going around doing good things. He heals the sick. He heals the lame. He just goes. She heard the reports. Not just a report, reports. So that means she heard several messages about Jesus. You want to build faith? I doubt one sermon will do it. Not because it can't, but because we have so much unbelief in us. So we need to hear several messages. Oh, that's why we're saying soak the message. Hear the same sermon several times. Huh? Several times. How many of you have binge watched, you have watched the same movie two times? Three times. Even you even finish the sentences of the actors. Yeah. You even finish the John Wick, yeah, Mr. Wick. You know what's going to happen here. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. You repeat songs, huh? Be careful. You repeat the song until you know the song. But what are the words? So now that's why what you listen to matters. The songs you sing matter.
Yeah.
Because when you keep repeating it, where are you writing it? So if you're only saying, Abba Pansi, Bavumi, huh? What are you doing? You are writing it in your heart. So before, you who used to be God-fearing, now you start putting candles. Huh? You start putting those candles for... You see now? You see what's happening now? It's because you wrote this thing up until you started saying that, Pastor, actually, I have some questions I've been in my mind. What's the question, child of God? Pastor, I mean, this Christianity is white people's thing because, you know, our ancestors, they should... because you listened to a song.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, Christianity is for white people. All of a sudden, yeah, it's to colonize us.
Came with the boats.
You see? So that's why even in our church, we don't sing certain songs. Yeah, we sing songs. As we keep writing them, they just keep magnifying the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So she had reports. Listen to me this year. Commit yourself to hearing many sermons or repeating the sermon over and over again. Right? She heard the reports concerning Jesus. Right? Number two, application. She believed what she heard. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to believe what you are hearing. Okay? Like today, I've taught so many things. It's one thing to have heard what I said. It's another thing to believe and say, Pastor, I believe this is true. Pastor, I agree, this is true. You understand? So you believe with your heart, not with your head. Sometimes your head can be doubting, but make sure your heart is just believing. Right? Luke chapter 1, the Bible says of Mary, blessed is she who believes, because there will be a performance, a fulfillment of those things that were told. Now that's if you believe what I shared with you today, God is going to do it in your life.
Amen.
If you believe that you are the blessed, you don't have a generational, if you believe you don't have a generational curse, God is going to bless you.
Amen.
And he's going to make sure your life reflects that thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you need to believe. Say, I believe.
I believe.
Believe what you hear. Number three, she kept saying to herself until faith came. Now, you know, she kept writing. Right? What did she say? She kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored. She kept writing it in her heart. If only I may touch. If only I may touch. You know, if you met this woman, she was going to say, if I can touch Jesus, you will know. Tommy, if I can touch Jesus, you will see something. If I can touch Jesus, you will see something. If I can touch Jesus, I'll be healed. She kept saying that until faith exploded. How do we know that faith exploded? Because she found herself pushing to touch Jesus. You see, works, Mihlali, are not something you craft with your mind.
Yes, sir.
Works are a product of faith.
Amen.
I'm going to touch about works because faith without works is dead. Now, abazalwane have tried to create their own works, not works born of faith. That's why it never worked. You don't just do works. They must be works sponsored by faith. For example, if you take your rod and you go to the Red Sea, it will not work. But Pastor, I'm copying Moses. You told us that if we follow the biblical patterns, we'll arrive. I did not say that. Moses did that because he had faith. God had said. So that action was produced by the faith in his heart. It's not everyone who sows a seed who gets an immediate harvest. Someone can say, I sowed my phone in the following day. The reason why the following day for that person was because in their heart they sowed their phone out of faith. Faith told them,
yes, sir.
Let's sow.
Yes, sir.
When are you then with no faith sowed?
Hi, my God.
Never give out of pressure.
Yes, sir.
No matter how juicy the teaching is, never give out of pressure. Ensure you give out of faith. Your giving will still work. I was teaching them on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Your giving will still
work.
But you see, for example,
yes, Pastor.
Did Jesus turn the water into wine?
Yes, Pastor.
Now, did he tell you to pour water into jars of clay?
No.
Now, if you go today and say, I read it in the Bible, as I read it, it's mine. And you take water and you pour it in your jars of clay and you come after some minutes, will you find wine? Why? Those guys did not just wake up and pour water into jars of clay. They were faith-inspired, works born of faith.
Amen.
Someone say works.
Works.
Born of faith.
Faith.
Not just your own works. People just wake up and copy things and it does not work out because that action they are doing, it's not wrong, but it was not born by faith. It was not born by faith. As I continue teaching this series, I'm going to even get to a point where I show you that. Can I tell you what faith really is?
Yes.
It's obeying God.
Yeah.
The cracks when everything comes down. Faith is just doing what God said, how he said it. Okay? Okay? So right now, maybe you can listen to a testimony of someone and they say that, you know, I just decided on Monday I'm going to get a job and I woke up and I went. The person doesn't tell you that they've been praying or thinking or meditating on scripture. Well, now you wake up tomorrow, you don't get a job, you come back tired. And then you say, this thing doesn't work. You see, God never asked you to copy someone's work. Because for you, you might get a job not by waking up and looking for a job and arriving at someone's company, but for you in the place of prayer, daily quiet time, then God, your faith comes alive, then God can say, today, call that person. Visit that. You see, don't assume what you must do. Be led into what you must do. Is it not amazing that Jesus, though the healer, never healed the same person the same way? Twice. Some he would spit on them. Some he would lay hands. Some he would speak a word. So he never healed anyone the same way twice. He never healed twice. So don't just assume that because it's healing, I must do the same thing. Your assumptions are what are making you be frustrated. Yeah. You must hear God. Must hear God. She heard. And then faith came alive. Faith what?
Came
so that woman had a commotion. What's there is Jesus. And then something in her heart was like, go now.
Yeah.
That's why she went there pressing. She went there pressing. Do you know that there were other services where Jesus said where you just would avail his clothes and they'll touch? There's other portions of the Bible where some people just came and they just touched. So Jesus will just stand and they'll just come to her. But something told this woman, now is your time. You see, faith is now. Faith is now. You see, faith must, there comes a point where faith says, now go. Today move. Today go register. Today, it's not an always, on it. They said, now go. And when you go, it always works like clockwork. But if you wake up and you just go, it's you going, Bob. That woman would have, and she had a commotion. Because, let me show you why I'm telling you. That action was not born out of your calculations. It was born out of faith.
Amen.
She was unclean, ceremonially. She knew, I can never get to Jesus.
Amen.
Now for her to violate the law, it's not a norm. You see, Barcelona, can I put my microphone down? Will you hear me?
Yes,
I'm trying to explain something. You see, sometimes when faith is working in your heart, you violate laws. That when your mind comes to, you say, what is it that I did? But at that moment, faith has overridden you.
Yes,
you're on overdrive. So wait until you're on overdrive. If you ask Moses, what were you thinking when you were part of the Red Sea? He said, I don't even know what I was doing. Because he can't do it again. But you see, God said, now Moses, go forward. And so Moses just found himself going forward. He just found himself. You see, when faith is working, you just find it's a compelling force. It just drives you. Remember, I've told, I think some of you were there in that service in Khayelitsha when they called an altar call for 50,000 rand. Right? I knew I didn't have the money. I knew that even if you gave me 10 months and I was putting 5,000, I didn't have the money at that time. Right? But in knowing that, Pony, I found myself. I did not walk to the front.
Hey.
I found myself in front.
Amen.
They were shocked to see me. I was shocked to see me. Now when I'm standing there, then it's like my mind comes to say, what have I done? But you can't go back now. You see, my mind was overtaken by the spirit of faith. Please hear me. When the spirit of faith is working, it suspends logic. When faith is working, it suspends logic. Because faith is a force of the heart. That's why I'm convinced that that woman, faith is like, now, go now. She went when it was riskiest. She could have gone like Nicodemus. She could have gone like the leper when there was no one else. Lord, have mercy on me. But she went when it was against all violations. In other words, this better work or I am finished. They are going to stone me. Only faith can make you take such a step.
Amen.
It was not excitement. It was not excitement. It was faith. When faith comes alive, you are unstoppable. Yourself, you don't know what's driving you. Yeah, you just find yourself doing things, saying things. If you ask Bishop Oyedepo when they were building the faith tabernacle, right, in 1 year, 50,000 seater in 1 year with no budget, right? When you ask people around that time what was happening, you say that it's like Papa was mad. It's like something was just driving him. All the things were saying, it's like there was just a force that, yeah. You see, when faith comes alive in a way, you just find yourself, you stand up right now, you move right now. And it always works when faith commands the actions you should take. We could be in a service like this and someone is faith and say, I need to sow for a change. And they stand up and they do that. But when you just copy and you just stand up and fall, no faith, because the whole service, you're absent-minded, right? The first person gets their miracle. They come back next week and testify. And when you just dropped an offering, your harvest is still coming. But it's not going to be at the same time. Yeah, it waits until seed time and harvest. But when it's of faith, now, you see right now as you're teaching, you can feel faith coming in. Eh? Something is holding your heart to say. So when God says this is possible, you know it's possible. It's a done deal. Yeah. She kept saying until. Then the last point, she received according to her faith. Then Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Jesus acknowledged that this was by faith. It wasn't by any, your faith has made you well. Your faith, that your faith was able to catch and say, move now, and you moved now. That faith has made you well. Hallelujah. I see your faith making you well this year.
Amen.
Yeah. So you keep saying to yourselves, you know, it's like when you listen to a testimony of somebody say that, you know, I woke up and I went. Most Christians don't testify in a correct way. Most Christians omit some details that become essential because they want it to look supernatural. So someone's like, you know, I just woke up in the morning and I just went to the BMW dealership and boom, they just gave me a free car. Okay, like, God has no favorites, right? So you wake up in the morning and you're like, man, I don't even want BM, Lord. I just want some Picanto. I'm just going to a Picanto. And you wake up in the morning and they chase you away from the Picanto store, right? Because the person didn't tell you that I had kept saying to myself, this month will not pass by. I kept speaking. And now I have to give you this for it to make sense. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. I have to give you. Because I was done, but I feel like it won't make sense. Because now what are you going to go say? Because you're not just going to go and say that I'm getting a car. This month will not end without me a car. Mm. Right?
Yes,
that's your own words.
Yeah.
But faith must be rooted in the word of God.
Yeah.
So that means your confessions must have their basis on the word. Does that make sense? Your confessions must have their basis. Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. Somebody is blessed here.
Amen.
Right? Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content. Right? Now listen to the part I want us to check on is the last part. For he himself has said something. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. So we may boldly say. We don't just stand up and say. Our saying must be based on what he has said. So he has said, I'll never leave you, no?
Forsake.
Be Because of that, now I can stand up and say, the Lord is my helper, because I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I will not fear, because I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. What can men do to me? So now he's continuing the confessions, ne? Based on what God has said. So now God says, the blessings of Abraham are mine, right? That's what he has said. Now you come and you say, he has said the blessings of Abraham are mine. Therefore, a car is mine. Can you see now? You are now confessing a car based on your understanding of the word of God. For example, he has said by his stripes I am healed. So I refuse to be sick. I declare I will not. I declare this sickness is cursed from my body. I refuse to be sick. So now, when you say, I refuse to be sick, it's not just your grammar, but it's actually based on what he has said. If you don't have a scripture for it, don't bother saying it. It won't come to pass. He watches over his word to perform it. And they preached the word and God confirmed. Okay? So if you don't have a verse for it, don't bother. Don't bother. Don't bother. I remember when we got our first car. We were confessing with my wife. James chapter 1 verse 7. Every good and perfect gift in the form of a car comes to me. Oh, we got a car. And then when we got our second car, every good and perfect gift in the form of a car comes to me. Now I'm preparing for my third car. Every good and perfect gift in the form of... So I can end up using the same scripture, né? But when I meditate with God and I talk to him, he can give me another scripture. He can. And Elijah outran the king's chariots. Every Ferrari, ayakata
sata. Hallelujah.
You are blessed in Jesus' name.
I pray that you have been transformed by the powerful message. Thank you for tuning in to the Pastor Tor podcast. Shalom.